This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. If you are just about done with takeout, but you feel like you can't get it together to make the kind of home-cooked meal that feeds the soul, we've got a place for you to try. Baobab Fare opened this year in Detroit, featuring sumptuous East African dishes. Flash-fried fish with fresh corn salad, beef simmered with tomatoes, paired with peanut-stewed spinach, and a creamy dessert pudding made with avocado and passion fruit. Okay, now that I've got your attention and you're feeling hungry, let me introduce you to Mamba Hamisi. He's the CEO and co-founder of Baobab Fare. His story is as interesting as his food. Mamba, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us what is behind the restaurant's name, Baobab Fare.
Baobab is a tree, mostly in Africa, and then the tree grew in the desert area, very dry area, and then by the tree, you can eat anything, everything on that tree. So the tree is very useful. So coming in the United States as a refugee and living in the shelter called Freedom House, we didn't have a family, we didn't have anybody around. And me and Nadia, my wife, who was not even able to speak English, but we had a very good education back home. We were among few who had education back home in Burundi. So we was like, it's going to be easy for us to get a job. But unfortunately, we couldn't get a job. I was in sales and marketing manager, but unfortunately, I couldn't get a job. And that was like, how we're going to survive? How are we going to get out of this situation? That was how we started. And then we was inspired by the name, the Baobab tree. We want to be like Baobab growing in Detroit.
Nice. We have some friends of Michigan Radio who really deeply love the food that you serve. They've described it as feeling like home, but also like being on vacation. And one person said it feels like the food is marinated with love and intention. Does that resonate with what the kind of experience that you and Nadia are trying to create for folks who come?
Absolutely. You know, coming here, Nadia, she found out she was pregnant and while living in a shelter, because Nadia came before me in 2013, I came in 2015. So I saw them for the first time at 2 years old. And then we had our kids here. We got asylum, long battle of asylum. You know, we fight like almost 3 years and a half to get asylum. Yeah. So Detroit has given us everything. The only thing we can give back is love. And then that's why we share what we have, not trying to make sure that we are making a huge contribution in the food, you know, bringing you like East African cuisine and then give it with love. You know, this food take long to cook, but we are building as a signature for our food. Some people say like we are taking long, you know, we are very slow. But we don't lose what is important for us. You're not gonna give love when you're in a hurry. You're gonna give love when you take your time.
Yeah. So people may be a little bit more familiar with West African food tradition. Could you tell us a little bit about in Burundi, what is the role of food in the culture?
So Burundi, we are near the Tanzania, which is on the coast of East Coast. So the landscaping is very, you know, interesting because we have mountains, we can grow rice, we can grow teas, coffee, beans. So, and then food in Burundi is very special because it's not everybody who can afford to eat meat every day. Sugar is not something you afford. You can have at least a soda once a month, or sometimes once a year. But we are also in the Great Lakes region where we can have fish. We eat a lot of fish. I think that is the difference between us, East Africa and West Africa, where mostly is the desert. They don't have that many fish. You know, they don't have that many green vegetables. But for us, yeah, in East Africa, we're very lucky because we have, you know, everything is green there. We have mountains. That's the difference. And then another very important thing is, you know, we have a lot of similarity of food influences from South America, from Middle Eastern, because the trade started from the Middle East, and then the first stop they were making was in Burundi and other countries around Burundi. So you have all those influences in our food.
Right. You know, sometimes it's hard to get people to try something that they have not had before. And when people aren't as familiar with your culture and your cuisine, you know, this can be a bit of a barrier. How do you overcome this to get people in the door and get food in their stomachs?
Talk to them, tell them who we are, and then try to get the trust from them. I usually tell people, like, try it. If you don't like it, you don't want to pay. So then that's put someone in confidence, like, let me try it. You know, when you are hesitating, let's say, like, our dessert. Many people don't like avocado. It's like, no, I don't get avocado. But it's like, yeah, try it. Just, you don't want to die, one bite. And then when you say, oh, this is different, this is good. Because I feel like people has been disconnected with the food industry in this country, because I think the food industry have abused the power they have to share good food, and then everybody's like, ah, this is another bad food. That is our goal, to try to recreate again that trust when people can try a new thing. And then the good news is many people who try this good food right now, I've seen young people. Young people, they're willing, they want to try. I was surprised to see people who have never been out of Detroit try new things, like, oh, this is good. I like to try new things. I think that the movement is coming, which is good for the food, yeah, in America.
Yeah. If you're just joining us today, my guest is Mamba Hamisi. He's the co-founder and CEO of Baobab Fare, a new restaurant that was just started this year in Detroit. I'm curious, do you think that people who'd been stuck at home and eating their own home food or maybe going to the same places again and again, do you think people were maybe ready for something different?
Absolutely. No doubt, if you see around Detroit, like, ethnic restaurants are doing well, very, very well. And then I think that is a good lesson for everybody who's making food with making shortcuts. I think that the big problem is coming to you. You gotta make sure that you have to review your pay, you have to review your ingredient, you have to make sure that, because something is coming. And then if you're making right, people are there to support you.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of ingredients, I know that you and Nadia decided to include a small market with East African products. Can you tell us a little bit about the kind of things that you sell and why you wanted to make this a part of the business?
So 2 years ago, we started a program to bring coffee from Burundi and then roasting in Detroit. And then that was very important, because every $2 goes back to Burundi to help orphans. And we're working with one organization there. So it's been amazing. And then it's a good quality, you know, from one firm, one single origin. And then we have our own product. We make our passion fruit juice, we make our hot sauce. And then we are buying now product from other people from Uganda, Tanzania. We have, like, plantains chips from Uganda. We have chocolate made with cacao from Tanzania. So we have different products. It's very good because we want to highlight. Many people doesn't even know about Burundi. Many people doesn't know about East Africa. It's a way to tell, like, we can have good products from this, you know, area. So then to open people's minds, to travel also, you know, to go and then visit and then see the reality of the life people are living in there. Sometimes we don't appreciate what we have around. I think that was most our the goal for us to bring this product was mostly to tell these stories and to tell people that there is another part of the world where people live differently.
Right. You said you had a background in marketing. Before you left Burundi, had anyone in your family owned a business before?
Yeah, growing up, my mom owned a restaurant, but the goal for that restaurant was to make sure that we are having something to eat every day. She didn't want to make money from that restaurant. She wanted to make sure that at least we can have lunch and dinner, because she was saying all the time, even if I cannot sell anything, I'm sure you guys are gonna have a meal on the table. You're gonna eat something. And then for me, it's different. For me, it's more inspiring others, and then to make sure, like, my kids will not suffer or will not have the same problem I had, me and Nadia. when we came in this country, at least they can own something. So I would say I got that from my mom, but it was a total different. She has this small restaurant, only I think five chairs and one table. If you have a food, you have to go on the street and sit down and eat. She doesn't care about where we're going to sit, what's going to be the customer service. Her only job was to cook. And then you come, you pay her, and then you get the food and you get outside. That's all.
Yeah. You and Nadia entered the United States with the help of Freedom House in Detroit, but it sounds like you were managing so much. You know, she was pregnant with the girls, and you're both, you know, getting your language skills ramped up. Mamba, when you think back to those first couple of years, what would you say got you through that time?
Was a lot. You know, this was, for me and Nadia, this was not a choice to come into the United States. It was just a survive. We was trying to survive, you know, try to say, let's go. The only home we have right now is Michigan and Detroit. So for us, it was like, we have to make it happen. So if I see where we came from, it's not about us. It was mostly the push was about people who were there for us, supporting. We didn't want to disappoint them. We didn't want to make, you know, feel like, ah, this is another refugee. You know, we want to make sure like, oh, this is another one who wanna succeed. That's gonna be easy for somebody who's coming next to us.
Yeah. How did those experiences affect the way that you built trust and relationships with the people you work with and the people you serve at Baobab Fair?
Our main goal right now, and when we started, was to give the chance to people who doesn't have a chance, as we were there before. We went there. So we have some people who are coming to this country as refugees. They don't speak the language. They don't know how to write. They don't know how to read. And then the only atmosphere they can find themselves, they can be happy, is Baobab Fair, because we can speak more than five languages, teach me and Nadia. So that can help them too. And then another thing is like Detroit is a unique place, I would say in general Michigan, because we had a lot of pop-ups around. And then every time we had a very succeed, you know, events. So people have been waiting for us. We try to build this relationship with people for 3 years. Even if we had a very hard moment, because we didn't have money, we didn't have a credit score even to close the loan. But the pressure and the willing of people has pushed lenders and people who are like, we need this restaurant to open. I think we created this relationship with people around, and then this is what we're still doing. We have time to talk to every and each one, and then to address if they have a question, or they have, you know, we can find answers. Yeah. I think that is most important, what we are doing.
You and Nadia and the girls are all together at almost any time of the day at Baobab Fair. What's it been like being able to do this in a situation where everybody can be all together?
I think it's amazing, because every time we tell these kids, we never have the same childhood as others. Because, you know, after school, they have to be here a long day sometimes, but they understand. They are very supportive. And then is to transmit this work ethic and then tell them, this is how you should. Life will never be easy. You're not going to get everything you need, but you have to work hard, you know. And again, another example we show them and we tell them all the time is like, your cousin somewhere, they are somewhere in the refugee camps in Africa. Some people who look like you, they're in a very worse situation. At least you are here, you can have something to eat, your parents have a restaurant in the United States, you have to be proud. And then if you tell them something like that, they feel so empowered. They feel so good. They feel like, at least we have something, we are making something, we are contributing something.
Mamba, you don't have to answer this if it's too personal, but I was wondering, you know, how your family and friends in Burundi are doing these days.
The family is doing great. So unfortunately, my parents, they are not living in Burundi anymore. So they live in Rwanda. So they flew the country. Yeah. Nadia's family is still there. Some of them, the others, they are around, you know, the world. So people have been, you know, everywhere because of the work over there. But my family is doing good. We are even happy and lucky to we can send them some little things to survive. you know, this is a big motivation for us to make sure that we don't have any excuses to not succeed, because we have a lot of people around, you know, behind us who are looking at us. We get this chance, we can't lose this opportunity, because maybe somebody else will be in this position. So, you know, and then we'll be in the position to ask for help. That is a big motivation. And they are very happy and proud for what we are doing.
You've talked about the fact that starting the restaurant was in many ways an act of survival. But I wonder how, you know, some of us who come to the States, you know, the food of our families and the food of our cultures is sort of an act of memory, you know, or an act of being able to create, you know, to bring something into the world that is part of who you are, you know, or even a gift. I wonder what making food and eating food means to you right now, to the extent that you have time to think about that while you're running the business.
I think our food, if someone have tried our food, maybe they can say about it. Our food is something you can eat every single day. We have, like, I think 9 items or 10 items on the menu, but this is something you can eat every day. You can start 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, you will not get tired. This is the good things of because there is no dairy. There's not something which can feel like, no, I'm done. No. It's very interesting because we see many people now, every, like, 4 times a week, they can have lunch at Baba Fair.
Yeah. So you found an unusual time to start a business here in Michigan. I wanted to ask a little bit about how the restaurant's doing and how the flow of customers has been.
The business is doing great, April. We are so thankful and grateful in Detroit. So when we started, we were very afraid to start in the middle of the pandemic, when we had only 25% of capacity at that time. But after 3 weeks was another story. We are so, so busy. Some of the weekends, if you don't have a reservation, you can't even get a seat.
Good.
But, yeah, it's been an amazing experience. I would say the projection we have right now is what we are projecting after 1.5 years for the business. So we are happy.
Mamba Hamisi, he is the co-founder and CEO of Baobab Fair. They are open for lunch and dinner in Detroit. Well, Mamba, thank you so much. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you, April.